$1,000. High and dry in this economy. All right.
Hey, Dan. Dried out.
All dried out. And it's pretty wet out there.
We're both all dried out.
All dried out. Yeah. Look at us drying out.
How's your week been, Joe? Right.
Oh. Better every day. Better every day. How was yours? Didn't you have like some celestial thing happen to you?
Yeah.
Like you went around the sun again recently?
No, I went in front of the sun.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, and I blocked everything out for exactly 2 minutes. It was tough, dude. I was getting tired by the end of it. But
it was pretty hot.
No, I mean, my back was, but I was facing, like, away from it.
They always say put your back to the sun, yeah. Yeah. We're talking about the, I was talking about your birthday, but you're talking about the eclipse,
oh, yeah,
aren't
no,
you?
That was, they were, like, right adjacent to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy mistake to make, because I was doing the one thing, like, the day before. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. Did you do anything fun for your birthday?
Yeah, I worked. And I really enjoy my job, so that was cool.
Hell yeah.
And then I watched part of the movie, Best Worst Movie, which was made by the child star of Troll 2.
Oh,
one of the worst.
That's the title of the movie?
It's called Best Worst Movie.
Okay.
Because at one point it was considered the worst movie ever made, Troll 2. Are you familiar with Troll 2?
I am, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that kid really wanted to redeem himself, because it's a good documentary. It doesn't feel as self-indulgent as you would think. It's all about how they all felt worthless, like trash, and had to give up on a dream. But then later on, there was kind of like a silver lining when they found out that there were people that liked them and that liked that movie. And were basically forced to embrace it, you know, because it's like otherwise just continue to hate the thing.
Yeah, that just sounds exhausting. Like, if you like a thing, you like a thing.
But, yeah.
There's enough people in the world that someone's going to like
something. Did you like Troll 2?
It's forgettable. I remember just being campy but I'm into those cult, like, poor, like, B-movies. You know, we both have an affinity for Mystery Science Theater and stuff like that.
I feel like there's 10... like classic lines or classic moments from the movie Troll 2, but I feel like they're all spread out evenly enough, and the story is just watchable enough to where like I was happy watching it. I was never like, God, when is this gonna be over? You know, it keeps you in there. Have I seen better bad movies? Sure.
Yeah.
The Room, I honestly think, is a more boring movie to sit through. That's a hard movie to sit through. Mm. There's great moments, but it's a hard movie to sit through.
I couldn't watch The Room alone. Like, it's got to be with
a
group, especially in a theater. Ever see it in the theaters?
The Room?
Yeah. People throwing spoons and things.
No.
And calling back.
Why are they throwing spoons?
Because they throw plastic spoons because, if you notice, there's just framed pictures of spoons throughout the house. So whenever you see a framed picture of a spoon, you just throw them.
What do you think? Did he just go on, like, Getty Images and find the images that were on sale?
Or, like, yeah, because I don't think you can buy the pictures. Because when you buy frames at the store, they have, you know, people in them. You know, you got models.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, these are my friends. Which is fun to keep those in. And like, yeah, I got a lot of really good-looking friends.
Yeah.
It's not like they're of spoons. So, yeah, that was a choice.
They don't have enough truly abstract, but, like, generic abstract knockoff fancy art at Target. Like, you go there, and they have kind of good art that, like, if you really know about art, which I don't, you would probably be like, that's trash from Target. But it's, like, nice-looking art, you know? And I feel like it would be cool if they sold, like, shitty, fancy art. Like, that you have to think about. Like,
yeah.
One of the, like, paint swatch art. Where it's just a giant paint swatch, but someone famous colored that canvas with that one single color.
Oh, yeah. Forget that artist's name.
There's a few of those guys.
Yeah. Speaking of artists, though, welcome everybody to the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time Podcast. We're talking about an artist today.
George Petty.
George Petty. Or more so, a Petty girl.
Okay.
It's not him. That's not him on the cover. And now is a good time as any. You know what to do. You can just do it.
Pull them out.
Pull it out, whip it out, take out your copy.
You can just do that.
You can. I've asked around, and everyone agrees you can just do that. We're looking on the third row here, fourth from the left. She's kind of got those flirtatious eyes. She's kind of knocking heads with Marlon Brando there. Spoiler, that'll be our next episode.
Ooh.
But she's kind of sniffing the wax dummy of... Is that George? Is that George? No, that's John. The wax dummy of John. Her nose is smelling his hair there.
It's on the far right.
Mm-hmm, that's Ringo.
Ringo's right next to
him. Looking real sad about being Ringo. George is the happiest looking one there.
This Petty girl, she looks like a photographic representation of one of those like old Barbie comic strips. Or like Blondie.
Yeah, I see that.
Like the old style with the really busty pinup girl sort of comic art.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
Like those eyes.
She almost actually, she's kind of making eye contact with the other. That's probably also a Petty girl, isn't it? The one with the blue bonnet on?
You would think so.
Yeah. I know there is going to be another Petty girl on the cover, and no one else really looks like it could be. So we're going to go with that being another one. But we're talking about the one with the Lakers hat there, you know, the orange and the yellow specifically. But can't tell you much about who this girl is, but I can tell you a little bit about who.
Purple and yellow.
Did I say orange? I did say orange, yeah. I meant to say yellow.
Orange and yellow, that's John in the Sgt. Pepper uniform. Or is that green?
That's like a bile green to me. Green. Yeah.
I was wearing a bile green.
Bile green.
Yoko used to put a finger down the throat. She's trying to keep a figure.
Didn't even have to ask her. She just do it.
She just do it for me. We did it for peace.
For peace and love. So yeah, let's get into it. George Petty, actually George Petty the Fourth. There were three more before him. He was born April 27th, 1894. By the time this comes out, I doubt to have it out on that day, but happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
To you, Dan.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. It's
really dating the podcast, isn't it?
We've been here for 45 minutes again.
Never left since the last one. Jamie, how you feeling?
Jamie.
What's holding up, Jamie?
Oh, he's sleeping. 45 minutes, he taps out.
Those flies around his eyes.
Do I hear Sigourney Weaver in the background? Oh, is that Barbra Streisand? Won't you help?
Oh, no, that was...
For the price of a cup of coffee a day?
That was Bette Midler.
Bette Midler?
Yeah. Right here at Golden Ox Studios.
Oh, Golden Ox Studios, yes, let's not forget. Never forget.
Never forget what?
That we're at Golden Ox Studio.
Golden Ox Studios.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts in Cleveland are made at Golden Ox Studios. Great.
All the best ones.
All the best ones, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All
the ones not including this one.
All the ones that aren't done in someone's apartment.
Yes, this is very...
In a proper office building.
Proper office building, proper equipment, very professional.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of headphones. We don't use any.
These are all Canons, baby.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's legit.
Yeah, and there's no parrots here?
No.
Sometimes you go to a podcast studio and they just have a parrot there. Just going, what?
Yeah.
What?
There's a big hole.
Pacho, what? It's my new thing. It's my new favorite voice to do. It's just a parrot.
Parrot.
Yeah. Especially like a parrot that follows conspiracy theories. Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
So yes, thank you again, as always, Golden Ox Studio, for letting us do our thing here. Now in its second year.
We're getting there. We'll get through this whole thing.
You bet we will. And then we'll do more. What is the one again that you wanted to do next? I thought it was like Sister Slaughter or Sister Sinister, Sledge.
Sinister Slaughter.
Sinister classic, Slaughter. The
classic macabre album, Sinister Slaughter.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Macabre has an entire album called the Dahmer album. And this was before Dahmer was popular.
Before Dahmer was cool.
Yeah, it was like probably like right after he killed all those people. You know what I mean?
What did they know? We'll get into that, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe they knew.
Maybe they did know.
Speaking of other album covers, we were kind of called out on that other Beatles podcast that my friend does. My friend Andrew and, yeah, and Roger have...
I love those guys.
That Weekend Potter out. They go through every song. So they finished all the Beatles songs. Hooray for them. Little golf clap. So now they're going into their solo work. And they just did an episode recently on Ringo. And Ringo has an album. Forget the name of the album. But the cover of it has about 78 figures on it. Just like Sgt. Pepper.
Really?
And some of them overlap.
Like some of the same pictures?
Some of the same people. Not the same pictures, but the same people. Of course, all the Beatles are on there. Harry Nilsson's on there. More probably recognizable face. Oh, that's up for debate. But they challenged us to do that next. So I told them specifically, well, we have another one planned, but maybe down the line. So there you are, Andrew. There you are, Roger.
Yeah, let's do a serial killer podcast next.
Mm-hmm.
But then bring it right back around.
Make it light again.
Beatles sandwich. Ringo in the front, Ringo in the back.
Ring, ring, ring.
Take it around to the Ringo town. I do love Ringo. He was one of the best of the two Mr. Conductors on Shining Time Station.
Mm-hmm. He was the best actor of all four of them.
Of all four of them? I thought there were only two.
Well, no, of all four Beatles.
Oh.
Best actor.
Yeah?
I'd say. No, he got the most work anyway.
Yeah. What has he been in?
A movie called Caveman.
Okay.
A movie called Blind Man.
Okay. A lot of man.
Yeah. he was in the movie with Mae West.
Mayman,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's the one. Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Son of Dracula, like a Harry Nilsson movie.
Okay.
Yeah. And then of course all the Beatles movies themselves, but that doesn't really count because the Beatles were in that, so that's a wash.
Yeah. Isn't there a scene in one of those Beatles movies where they sign an autograph and it says "Nice tits"?
I think John does that. Yeah, I think he's, yeah.
What a game.
I think it cuts away, but it's...
That's what he wrote.
Yeah. It's canon.
Yeah. I mean, that is what he wrote. I'm being serious. He definitely wrote that. You can see him writing that.
Oh,
he might have cut away, but they didn't cut away soon enough for it to not be like, for there to be any plausible deniability.
So it wasn't like nice time?
No.
Nice time we've had here. And.
Oh, yeah, that for sure. In context, that's exactly what you would write.
Mm-hmm. Nice time.
Yeah.
Start signing that. And
what does this mean?
It's a good time, not a nice time. It's a kind time.
I'm here for good tits, not long tits.
Speaking of good tits, George Petty, the Petty Girls, all had quite the form. I got one pulled up here. You just do a quick search if you're there in the world. Just type in George Petty. You won't even see a picture of him. His work is more famous than he is.
Okay.
And if you search George Petty and you try to get more information, you just get Tom Petty doing George Harrison covers and all kinds of maglamations of that. But I'm here to lay it down on the line for you about who George Petty was. We already said when he was born, April 27th, 1894, right before the turn of the century. American pinup artist, born in Louisiana.
Louisiana,
it's me. Grew up in Chicago, though. He was an apprentice to his father's photography studio. But then he went overseas, studied at Académie Julien in Paris. Had to come back because World War One was starting. And they were like, no, everybody go back to America. Everybody go back home.
Yeah.
So he went back home and was in a... Like an apprentice, he was working as like a photo toucher upper and learned how to airbrush.
Okay.
So kind of like an original Photoshop kind of guy before a Photoshop, like making beautiful models even more beautiful at the same time.
I imagine he started off drawing a lot of people's dead relatives on clothing items for them with, like, years, like, lit print. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. No, you got to explain
every
that one.
Every artist gets their start doing portraits of dead relatives of the people that commission them. You go in.
Yeah.
You're like, here's a photograph, and then they do a nice little spray job on a t-shirt, and then it usually says, like, 1986 to, like, 2001. And then you...
Yeah. And they do it at, like, Cedar Point, right? And Six Flags? That's where they get their start?
I always thought they just did them in shopping malls and...
Oh, shopping malls, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right next to the guys that doing the caricatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get it done on visors also.
Yeah.
If you need it on a visor.
Well, they have lots of blank clothing items, and you just take the one that you want. When did tie-dye come out? I'm sure this petty guy did a little bit of tie-dye, right?
I believe it. I mean, he lived till 1975, so we definitely saw some tie-dye.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's responsible. I didn't find that in my research.
I'm seeing a lot of... Like, remember that Playboy with Marilyn Monroe?
Of course.
It's like the same exact... All of these pictures have that vibe. I feel like Hugh Hefner was, like, straight up ripping this dude off.
For sure.
Just, like, holding these pictures up and having the girls pose, like, in these pictures.
Well, I don't think he would do well. We'll get to it later. But, like, since also it's about the petty girls, when he drew them, like, he would draw models, but he would elongate their legs, like, all their limbs, make them a little bit longer, make their heads a little bit smaller.
Okay. They call those heroic proportions, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In the,
heroes have small heads.
Smaller heads, yeah. Yeah. Bigger bodies, smaller heads.
Uh-huh. Less, weak spots, I guess. I mean, the head, if you hit the head, you know, headshot. You're out.
I don't know what I'm sure it's psychological, but yeah, if you look at the dude in this picture,
mm-hmm. I'm looking,
like, look how small his head is compared to the rest of his body.
True.
I think the human adult is supposed to be like roughly six heads tall or something like that.
Oh, he's got more. Like
eight
yeah.
Or nine.
Absolutely is.
He looks like the male version of Bayonetta. If you're familiar with that.
That's for
Bayonetta.
It's for all our Bayonetta fans out there. In the 1920s, Petty had his own studio doing ads for cigarette companies, beer companies, airlines, luggage companies. All that sorts of good stuff. That's where he was making his money as kind of a freelance artist. And in 1933, he won the poster competition for Chicago's World Fair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's from Chicago, too. So maybe he was a hometown favorite. I don't know.
That is the main, when you hear the World Fair, that's Chicago.
That's the one they talk about. Yeah. Okay. There was one in New York, too. I think, I don't know if that was before or after. I did my research, I could have told you. But that's where they have the end of Men in Black.
Yeah.
That's
the New York World Fair.
Yeah, those are like the only like kind of remnants of it. This World Fair stuff is really interesting if you want to go down conspiracy rabbit holes.
Yeah.
But he won that, and kind of off of the success of that, he began illustrating for Esquire, the gentleman's magazine. Still around to this day. So I talked about their heroic proportions, the flirtatious smile. Also, a lot of times they'd have a phone in their hand.
Yeah, I noticed that.
A lot of phones. I think it was sort of to boost morale for the war. So these ladies were painted on the planes, the American planes in World War II. Not unlike the Vargas girl, which if you cast your mind back to season one, remember Alberto Vargas?
Yeah.
He actually replaced Petty for Esquire. He's his follow-up. So okay. Petty came first, and there was some legal thing where he was smart enough to like buy the rights to like own the rights to his all of his pictures.
And then just so that they would have to license it from him.
Exactly. And because Esquire didn't really get screwed by that, but like they could have made a lot more, they got Vargas by calling them Vargas Girls. So like they learned their mistake from George Petty's saving his ass.
So George Petty calling them Petty Girls
was able to always get like a royalty on that.
But Vargas didn't do that?
They, since they got burned by Petty, they didn't let Vargas do it.
Oh.
Yeah. They're like, you're going to paint for us and we're going to, they're ours. In 1945, I don't know why I wrote this down, but he did a full page centerfold fold out every month for, I didn't write the name of the magazine, but kind of, I've heard contradictory stories of where like the centerfold came from. I've even heard that it was Marilyn Monroe's idea
to do a centerfold to like
for Playboy. But so I guess the pinup comes before the centerfold. So a pinup, we call it a pinup because you literally just pin it up to the wall. But then I guess maybe when Playboy came, they're like, well, we can have a bigger picture, like more than just two sides of a magazine. Like you could have a third or a fourth flap.
Yeah.
Flip, flop, paddywhack.
Does the centerfold actually unfold, or do you just pull it out of the staples, and does it take up two pages?
The centerfold actually comes out.
Okay.
Like, it's one page.
And then it just keeps
folded
folding.
Like a letter. Like, you know, you fold
it's
the
like
letter three ways.
17 or something like that.
I'm trying to... I'm thinking like 8.5 by 11, so... No, it would be 11 by, no, 8.5, that's the wider. So it would be by 11, so eight, like 16.5 or even 24 by 11.
11 by 24, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Numbers.
That's like when you're at the copy machine and you're looking for paper, but you open it up on the bottom, you're like, there's no paper, and then you open the bottom one, and there's like a whole stack of paper, but it's all too long.
Paper's too long. Is that legal?
Well, yeah.
Legal size?
Long paper.
Well, I mean, like, legal versus illegal, but like that's legal size.
Maybe. I feel like legal pads are still... very close to 8.5 by 11.
Speaking of legal pads, if you're running out of paper back home, don't forget to pick up your very own Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time legal pad. It is the only pad that's 100% legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the Sergeant Pepper's seal of approval on it. That's how you know it's legal.
Most legal pads do have certain restrictions to their legality. With our legal pads, you can do whatever you want. You can make slanderous statements against your enemies.
You can just write it right on there.
As long as you put it on a sheet of our legal paper, totally legal.
Totally legal. It's already notarized.
Make false accusations against your best friends, you know, just to send them a message. And you're sending that message on our legal paper.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Good Time, a legal pad, so it is written.
Yeah,
so it shall be.
He got away with beating so many of his girlfriends.
So many of them.
He would just cover the stick with the Sergeant Pepper legal paper.
Speaking of stick.
She couldn't call it assault because it had a legal paper on it.
You just can't do it.
You could wrap it around your fist, rubber band it, punch your boss in the face. He can't say jack.
Speaking of beating women, I learned, do you know the history of rule of thumb? You know what the rule of thumb is?
No. Do I want to?
You
want to
guess?
You put a thumb up their butt. Is that it?
Close.
Okay, tell me.
You were allowed to beat your wife with a stick so long as it wasn't thicker than your thumb.
So long as the stick wasn't thicker than your thumb.
Yeah.
Does that take density into account?
Doubt it.
Cause what if it's like
like you can't use a baseball bat, but you could use like a dowel rod, I guess, something like that.
You can't take a baseball bat and shave it down to the
just right
thickness of your thumb, and that's okay. That's totally cool.
It was cool back then. Everyone was doing it.
Is that true? I'm saying, like, is it a stick? Did you have to use a stick? Or could you take a baseball bat, which is a very thick, solid piece of wood, shave it down to the thickness of the widest point of your thumb? Because I'm assuming it's the widest point of your thumb. These guys,
oh, for sure. Yeah, no, men were writing the rules, so yeah.
It was the widest part of your thumb. Got to give something back to the fellas, you know?
A little something for the fellas. Yeah.
So you could use a cane. If it was
a thinner cane. Yeah.
We
could probably like tape two candy canes together.
Yeah. And that's great for older fathers. You know what I mean?
Because I know what you mean?
Your younger daughters, they're still acting up. And you got that cane. It's already there. You're holding it. You know?
It's already there.
You don't use your good cane. Your good cane's for going out.
Only on holidays.
It's a special treat. You're like this, and then it gives true meaning to the, you're, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts, or this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Damn straight is going to hurt you more than it hurts her. She has no idea how valuable that cane is. It's a custom job.
And God forbid the gentleman hits his thumb with a hammer while he's, you know, building and making something. It swells twice the size. You can use twice as thick of a stick.
Oh, I think they used to do that on purpose. You're in the garage working on something for the kitchen, probably making a step stool, you know, because this is before there was Lowe's. You hit your wife, she comes in there, she's like, dinner's ready, and then you smash your thumb. God damn it. Well, silver lining, because now someone's getting their ass beat with an actual baseball bat. No, that's not funny.
It's not funny
that's
at all.
Not funny at all.
None of that was funny. We're going to take all that out.
No, just cut the baseball bat part out at the end. And then leave the part in that I just said now about only cutting out the baseball bat part.
We'll leave the best parts in.
All right.
We always do. I always tend to. And if you don't think I do, by the way, you can email us. I think it's sergeantpepperpot@proton.com. What's the, you know, Proton?
No.
Mail? That's like a free mail thing. I don't know. Whatever the end of the Proton one is.
Joe, you know you can have as many Gmails as you want, right?
Well, I think we have one of those too, actually.
All right.
Yeah. I just didn't want it linked. I don't know. We get into some spooky stuff here. We don't want people talking. I mean, already we've had attacks, you know? We had the fire in the basement.
Yeah.
We had the...
Wasn't there a huge storm that, like, knocked out all the telephone poles in the neighborhood?
Big, huge storm. That they didn't want us talking that day. There was the I can't even say the other thing.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah, well no, that was the fire. I was going to say the fire.
The fire takes the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, fire takes the square. Wrapping it up on the history and the biography here, then we get into the fun stuff, which I wonder what we'll do. Our boy George Petty, died in California, San Pedro, California, July 21st, 1975. So he was alive to see this album come out and see his work, his ladies on the cover, which I bet he was pretty jazzed about.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a little disappointed.
Because they're covered up?
Yeah. But at least there's two of them.
Yeah.
I feel like not everybody had two things, you know? Shirley Temple being one of the only ones. This is a really tiny Shirley Temple that I never even noticed.
The one in front of the TV?
Yeah.
That's actually... I don't know who that is.
That's not Shirley. That's not a tiny Shirley Temple.
It might be a.
Ghost Shirley Temple.
Yeah, ghost is.
There's a protoplasmic Shirley Temple. There's, oh my God, there's little tiny ladies all over the.
The one on the bottom left is the one in front of the Buddha there. That's actually Snow White.
Oh, okay.
And they got a gnome too.
Where's the gnome?
Just left of the B.
Where's the B?
The B in Beatles.
Oh.
The letter B. Today's episode is brought to you by the letter B. That is all. Be somebody.
And then we have this Civil War general, Robert E. Lee.
The stone guy?
Yeah.
We'll get into him. I know that it was a statue figure from, I think, John's house.
Oh, yeah. Was he one of those guys?
We'll have to find out who he actually was.
Was he another Lemmy?
Another Lemmy.
Lemmy Kilmeister.
Lennon loved the Lemmys.
It's like war memorabilia.
Is it so wrong?
I've got 8 Robert E. Lees. I like American history.
It's just American history. Off my back. Hop off it. Oh, I also wanted to mention, because I feel like we brought up Rita Hayworth before, yeah? We talked about Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
On a previous episode. Another famous illustration from our boy George Petty IV was an illustration of Rita Hayworth on the cover of Time magazine. When I found that out, I went down the rabbit hole of her poster being in Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. Then I realized that that's the name of the short story, is Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. That's the novella title.
See, it would be nice if Jamie would wake up right now, because
he loves his king. Yeah, he could have chimed in on that. But yeah, in the movie, it's Raquel Welch.
No, it's not. It's Rita Hayworth.
It's Raquel Welch. I watched the scene.
Oh, maybe the picture is. Or...
The picture, yeah.
No, it's not. Because
at the very end. So like he starts it behind Rita Hayworth.
Oh, you're saying the picture changes.
At the end. Yeah, at the end. Spoiler if you haven't seen Shawshank. He throws the rocks around and he throws a rock right through her. And then he's like, I don't like the way he just puts his finger in the hole there, like right by her abdomen, and just then like puts the whole fist. It's kind of,
yeah, and then starts putting his fingers in and out of it.
Spits on the other one and switches it up.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you saw the same version that I did.
The Shawshank Redemption. Is that what you're talking about?
The Shawshank Redemption, yeah. Marilyn Monroe also one of the posters in there too.
In the movie.
In the movie.
Because I remember Red talked about Rita Hayworth a lot in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Rita Hayworth had the nicest legs, you know.
When she does that thing with her hair.
Yeah.
It is pretty darn good. It's great acting by Rita Hayworth hair.
She wasn't even a white lady. Did you know that?
She was a black and white lady.
No. She was a Hispanic lady.
My joke was just because it was black and white.
Oh, yeah.
In case we get any emails.
Not at that point. The world had already turned to color by the time. It was just cheaper to... It was cheaper for the world to stay in black and white.
Cheaper for the whole world.
Yeah. It's not that the world didn't have color light technology. It was just cheaper. Cheaper for God. Because at that point...
Cheaper for God.
Yeah, it was the Great Depression. If you think about this, it was the Great Depression.
Okay.
And people weren't able to donate as much to their churches at that time. Because you had to spend that money on cheese.
The government cheese.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to cut it.
So the world stayed black and white for at least 15 years longer than it had to, technically speaking.
Thank God for tornadoes in Kansas. Kansas. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. No, I know. That was all just done... See, they didn't have... Man... This is really hard to explain how they did that scene in The Wizard of Oz, because that the world was still in black and white at that point, but they had to make a distinction. So I think what they did was they just used, they painted everything.
In like that sepia tone?
Yeah.
In the house?
Yeah, they just painted everything sepia tone. That is actually what happened. Just when she opens the door.
Yeah.
Now I'm being serious. It was like, because that shot, they were using sepia tones for that whole opening part, and then it was in color for the rest of it, but there's that one shot where she opens the door, and everything outside is sepia, and everything inside is in color, and that's because that scene was a full color shot. but
that makes sense. Yeah,
made everything sepia behind it. Yeah, that's wild.
It'd have to be. Yeah, yeah.
Great movie.
And they set the record on the book. They're silver slippers, but since they were paying so much, taking the money from God to, you know, put color in it, they made the slippers ruby.
That's right. That's right.
Because silver, like, well, everything's been silver.
Yeah. The silver.
Not spending
screen.
All this
That's
money.
Why they called it the silver screen.
Yeah, they would have blended right in. Would have looked like she had no feet.
Yeah.
Just blurred out.
There were a lot of heads in Return to Oz, too. Speaking of mannequins.
Speaking of Oz and the bomb.
Yeah.
The Frank L. bomb. Mannequin heads. Yes.
Anything else interesting about this guy? I have a feeling he was bisexual. Because I feel like he's put more effort into the dudes, even though there's less of them.
Well, he drew the dudes, too. Not to compare him to Vargas, but I think Vargas was all girls all the time. So he might be onto something there. But he also did more advertisements.
That's fair.
Yeah. They made a movie called The Petty Girl, which is about the girls he drew or something. No, not about the girls he drew. Kind of about him.
It was a biopic?
Somebody plays him in it.
Really?
So it's kind of a biopic with musical numbers. And all that. I think Joan Clawfield played the quote-unquote petty girl. Just classic beauty. Honest.
Yeah.
Always on the phone. Always tying up that phone line.
Yeah. Wrapping the cord around your finger.
Mm.
That's why they started making phone cables coiled up like that. It was because all the women in the 50s.
All of them.
Yeah,
every single woman
in
the 50s.
They would just sit there and just like twist their finger around that cord. And they wouldn't realize that, like, the inside of that cord was actually a wire, and it would get frayed. You know, that you can't see that from the front.
No.
So they would just be twisting those cords around their fingers. And eventually, you know, men were like, we need to make these cords, like, so that they can't twist their fingers around them. And that's why if you notice, once they started getting the curly cords, you would just see ladies sticking their fingers in there and, like, just playing around with it. There wasn't as much twisting anymore.
Just fidgeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went back to curling their hair.
I'm just saying this was the idea at the time. This is not actually what I think. I think this is what people at the time thought they had to do. Like, that's, you know what I mean? I don't agree with it. But I think that's what they thought. What do you think?
It's pretty sound logic there, Dan. I think you're right.
Also, women like to, again, this is just what people thought, that they would like, they wanted to be like doing housework while they were on the phone, which meant they would have to walk, you know, much farther away from the phone.
I think it's more of that. I think it's more like it's that slinky.
Yeah.
Like it takes up less space when it's hung up. And then you notice how it always ends up, like the curls even curl. Like it never just has a nice little droop. It's never like a swoop. Like the curls themselves curl on themselves like a helix. From stretching so much, probably.
Oh, from stretching so much?
Yeah, and also maybe like spinning around and...
So you're saying that sometimes when they would almost get tangled, like you would stretch it out and then it would snap back and they would start spinning around.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just look like a bunch of ramen noodles hanging off.
A bunch of ramen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So maybe it backfired, but ultimately better than just, you know, like a coaxial cable, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine just a coaxial cable.
Just exposed.
No, I'm thinking like the one you use for like cable back in the 90s, you know.
Oh.
But that has like no give.
That has this, you have to screw it in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how you had to plug the phone into the wall.
No, wait, no, wait, no, that was it. Was even thinner. Yeah, that one.
Cube in the
yeah,
back.
You push the button. Yeah. Oh, that little knot. Not a button. Yeah.
That's gonna be steampunk. Like 50 years from now, there's gonna be this idea that everything is just like telephone wires and phone jacks. And you can DSL modem speeds.
You can get one of those sort of phone with those curls we were talking about to plug into your like smartphone.
Yeah.
If you were feeling a certain way.
How did Johnny Mnemonic store that stuff in his head? Was that just like an 8-track?
Who is Johnny Mnemonic?
The Keanu Reeves movie before The Matrix. He was just some dude, but he was like a cyberpunk grifter, like a courier.
Oh, I didn't know we had a prequel.
You never heard of Johnny Mnemonic?
Never heard of Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, man. I feel like that was the big surprise of The Matrix coming out, was that they let Keanu Reeves do another sci-fi movie after the first one was so bad.
Is it better than Troll 2?
I think so. I think there are people that like Johnny Mnemonic. I think it's just not supposed to be like a great movie. But he was like a cyberpunk dude, you know, and he'd go around and steal corporate information and sell it to people, but he would carry it around in his brain.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up having some like real sensitive information in his brain, and so like all these people are trying to kill him now. Because he's Johnny Mnemonic. You never heard of that one.
No. I hope he had, like, mnemonics to, like, that's how it all worked in his brain.
That's the whole thing, is I don't think it is. I don't think he used any mnemonic devices. He just had, like a card reader in the back of his head.
So Johnny Mnemonic walked so Neo could run.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Would you replace Pettigrew with Johnny Mnemonic?
No.
I don't think that's a good choice.
No.
Jessica Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit, yeah. From Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
The love interest?
Well, no.
No. The
more of a mysterious side character.
Mm.
I feel like she would be good, or I mean, who else was doing?
I'm getting a Velma vibe. Velma Flintstone?
Wait, oh, Wilma.
Wilma. Flintstone. Wilma Flintstone, yeah.
Oh, and the one with the dark hair could be Betty.
Betty, could be.
All right. Wilma Flintstone and Betty Rubble.
Or just have it be Hanna-Barbera. Was he the artist? Or is he just the guy that, like...
Gene Hanna and Lou Barbera, I think those were their names. They were artists.
Yeah, okay.
Did you think it was one guy?
Yeah, named Hanna, I guess. I never thought about it.
Two guys, yeah. Two partners, two business partners. They're probably friends, too. I think they were friends, but yeah, they were...
At least friendly.
They were great animators. Like,
yeah.
I would say... Tom and Jerry, which they created, the MGM era Tom and Jerry cartoons looked just as good as any Disney cartoons at the time. And Disney was like the gold standard of animation, even above Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But then ironically, Hanna and Barbera both were largely responsible for coming up with the style of animation that looks like ass, but is really cheap to produce, called limited animation. And it's where you just make, like, cutouts, you know? You make the body, and then you have the head, and the head goes behind the body, and then you just move the head when you don't need the body to move. That's why so many of the, characters had ties.
Yeah.
Yogi Bear had a tie. Yogi Bear didn't need a tie. He was a cool dude, but he didn't need that tie.
He rocked that tie.
It was so his head would move, and you wouldn't see, like, a line.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Fred Flintstone as well.
With Fred Flintstone. Barney, he didn't have a tie. But
he had
like
a necklace,
shirt.
Right? Or something? No, it's just shirt.
His
yeah.
Shirt comes up. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like, the neck goes into the shirt.
Kind of had that deep V.
Yeah. Wilma had the
pearl necklace.
Yeah. But that was the deal. They figured out how to make cartoons really, really cheap. The repeating backgrounds, all that.
Oh, the repeating backgrounds are great.
But a lot of those cartoons were still funny.
Like, absolutely, if you ever Top Cat, love Top Cat. Crazy. Yeah.
It's apparently just a remake of the Phil Silver show. That was the thing that Hanna-Barbera used to do a lot, is they would take a popular TV show and just completely rip it off, but like kind of make it better, you know, because they would make it like its own thing. So the Flintstones was just the Honeymooners, and the only reason that worked was because, what's his name that played Ralph Cramden? I feel like such
Ed Norton. No.
I feel like such an ass right now.
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason was told by like one of his friends, like, do you really want to be the reason the Flintstones gets canceled? Because everybody loved the Flintstones. So he only didn't file the lawsuit.
Wow.
Because he didn't want to be known as the guy that ruined the Flintstones. Yeah. And then Top Cat was just the
Checkmate.
Show, a.k.a. Sergeant Bilko. And then they would rip themselves off. Like, they did Scooby-Doo, and that worked. So they did, like, five more Scooby-Doos that just had different characters.
Mm-hmm. A pup named Scooby-Doo?
No. They wouldn't even be
Oh, Scooby-Doo. You're talking about, like, Jabberjaw?
Yeah.
And well, what's the buggy one?
Oh, yeah, Speed Buggy?
Maybe Speed Buggy. Uh-huh.
Speed Buggy. Yeah. He's the talking buggy.
Yeah.
And it would always be, like, a group of teenagers, and there would always be a Shaggy. But his name wouldn't be Shaggy. That was just so you knew for sure that it was supposed to be Scooby-Doo. And that it wasn't just similar. They'd have a guy that looked exactly like Shaggy. And they were usually all in bands. Oh, yeah. And then Jabberjaw was just...
A band. So that was like Josie and the Pussycats.
Jabberjaw was...
And the Archies.
Was a ripoff of Scooby-Doo, Rodney Dangerfield, and Curly Howard from the Three Stooges. Because Jabberjaw talked like, he would be like, nyuk, 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 no respect, you know, but then he would say like, no respect, which, no respect, I don't get no respect. So it's like Scooby-Doo, it was all three of those things.
And the Smurfs and the Snorks?
No, those were Danish shows.
Oh.
Well, the Smurfs was an American show that... was based on the Snorks because
Snorks came first. Okay.
Well, Smurfs Smurfs came first.
Mm.
Smurfs was a Danish cartoon that you can still find the original comics and they're like not in English.
Okay. And well, then, like in print.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And then we got the licensing rights to do the cartoon.
We.
Yeah.
These United States.
And then I think the Snorks. Was just because since Hanna-Barbera already had the rights to do the Smurfs, they were just like, let's just do an underwater Smurfs.
Yeah.
And then they did the Snorks. Which had...
It's gold!
Yeah. Which was like one of the first roles of Nancy Cartwright from The Simpsons. Was in the Snorks.
Oh. The more you know. Should it be Nancy Cartwright?
No, I'm thinking Wilma and Betty Flintstone.
Betty
Lovell and Wilma Flintstone.
It's wild to already have someone for next season done. But yeah, I like it. Remember for the Vargas girl, we went with the girl from Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I almost said, I almost said that we should do a Patrick Nagel thing, but then I was like, I'm pretty sure we already did that.
We did, Nagel. So since Vargas came after Petty, who would you say came before Nagel? Anyone come to mind?
Before Nagel?
Yeah. Like who was doing like the Nagel thing before Nagel?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone was really doing like quite that.
Yeah.
Because you don't really see any artwork that looks like Patrick Nagel that isn't Patrick Nagel. Like, all of those salon signs that would be, like, you know, totally teased, like, hair, you know, and would have, like, a picture of, like, a woman with, like, nice long fingers and nails. Those are all Patrick Nagel drawings.
They're just all Nagels, yeah.
All Nagels. Because I recognize those since I was a kid. I would always be like, I see these pictures everywhere. But that was the style at the time. But I don't think anyone else was doing, like that exactly.
Okay.
He was just drawing these really washed out, like pale looking women.
As white as the paper he was using.
Yeah. But,
Wilma.
Yeah, Wilma and Betty.
Fantastic.
In fact, we should just make everyone on the cover a character from the Flintstones, and we should come up with a Flintstones name for them. Like Edgar Allan Poe could be Sledgeger Allan Poe Rock. And then Marlon Brando could be Marlon Sandstone.
Boulder.
Right?
Marlon Boulder.
No, they have
stone.
It has to.
It's a rock. It has to end in stone.
No, it has. It doesn't have to.
A end rock.
In stone. It has to be a good pun, and it usually has to rhyme, like or sound close. Like Cary Grant was Cary Granite.
Uh huh.
That's how they did that.
Oh yeah, they
Sometimes
did.
Sometimes we get dumb. Like Hollywood was Holly Rock, but that kind of works because like wood is a natural. You know that kind of works. They're just being silly, like Holly Rock, Hollywood, but usually it like kind of rhymes. Like, I think there was also Rock Hudson, and they just called him, like, Rock Hudson. No, I think he was just, like, Rock Hudson Rock, or Brick Hudson. It was probably, like, Brick Hudson. That would be annoying if you had to come up with a Flintstones name for a character, or for, like, a famous actor, but their name already sounded like that.
Yeah, it already is a Flintstones name.
Yeah. And then Hanna-Barbera come into the writer's room and they're like, it's not that hard. I'm just asking you to come up with puns. You can't do puns? You're supposed to be a professional writer and you can't do puns? The bane of comedy? You can't come up with the worst joke that's acceptable to perform?
It's beneath me.
You're fucking fired. Brick Sandstone. There it is.
Run it.
Took me two
do
seconds.
Do I have to do your job for you?
Bob Dylan, what would that be? It would be like Rock Dylan. No.
Boulder Dylan.
Bob Dillstone.
I keep trying to use Boulder. All I can think of is boulders and bricks.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinrockra.
Fred Astaire, Fred Armist, Amethyst.
Yeah.
Twinkle Stones.
John Lennon, John Limestone. Boom, done.
Ringo Starr, Ringo Starstone.
George Harrisstone. That's a good George Harrisstone, done. Shirley Temple,
Pebble Temple.
Shirley Pebble.
Shirley Pebbles.
Oliver Hardy.
Oliver Hardstone.
Oliver Hardstone. Oliver Hard Rock. We already did Brando.
Stan Laurel. Stone Laurel.
Was it,
H.G. Wells?
No,
W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, W.C. Fieldstone. It's too easy.
We could have wrote for the Flintstones.
We could have. They would have kept this on retainer.
Marilyn Monroe Stone. Done.
I could go all day.
Now I want to know. Some of these definitely existed in the Flintstones, and I'm wondering what they actually called them.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe Stone. I'm a huge fan. Fred!
Can you chisel my autograph? Can you chisel your autograph? And
can you chisel your autograph for me?
Brock, it's a living. Brock. No respect. So let's bring ChatGPT into this before we leave. Not with Petty. I think I just want to hear Velma and... Not Velma. I keep saying Velma. Wilma. Well, maybe Wilma and Velma talking. I was going to say Wilma and Betty talking about posing for this picture.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows where this could go? When we come back from the break, an intimate conversation between Wilma Flintstone and Betty Rubble.
First season, and maybe even the second season, Mel Blanc was doing the voice of Barney to sound even more like, as it went on, he did it even more like Ed Norton.
Uh-huh.
Norton kind of talked like this. He'd be like, hey, Ralphie boy. Hey, Ralphie boy. And that's exactly how, so when it started, he did it like this. He'd be like, hey, Fred, what are you doing?
Hey, Fred.
Come on, Fred.
Come on, buddy. It's going to be okay.
Me and Betty, we're supposed to go out to the movies tonight. Otherwise, I'd come along with you. But then, like, as it went on, he started, me and Betty, we got to go to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going out to dinner, I promised we'd go out. Cut all that. It's not good. But I'm just saying, like, they leaned into it so hard as it went on. But the funny thing is, if you look at the guy that played Fred Flintstone... I mean, Fred Flintstone does look like the guy that did his voice.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that they were, like, that the, even the drawing of the character was based on Jackie Gleason. Because Alan Reed, the guy that did the voice of Fred Flintstone, looks even more like Fred Flintstone than, if you're listening right now, look up Alan Reed, A-L-A-N-R-E-E-D. And you'll be like, oh, god damn, the first thing that comes up.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Is human Fred Flintstone.
Human, for sure.
But,
awesome.
But no, Laurel and Hardy, not really, because Stan Laurel, even personality-wise, Stan Laurel was a very timid dude.
I think I'm thinking just because...
Barney's kind of cool. Barney knows that Fred's a dick, but he, like, lets him get away with it. Fred's not really pushing him around.
True.
Whenever Barney's had too much, he just stopped kicking it with Fred. And then Fred would get all mad for a while and call him like an ungrateful friend or whatever. But eventually he'd feel bad because Fred didn't have any other friends.
He really didn't. Just that green Martian.
Yeah. Gazoo.
Gazoo, yes. All right, you ready? Do you want to be Wilma or Betty?
I'll be Wilma.
I'll be Betty.
Yeah.
Wilma and Betty are sitting together, eagerly waiting their turn for the photo shoot. The iconic Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album cover looms in the background, setting the scene.
Betty, can you believe we're going to be on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
I know, Wilma. It's like a dream come true. Just imagine our faces alongside those famous musicians.
I can't wait to see Fred's face when he finds out. He'll probably think he's some kind of rock star himself.
Oh, I can already hear Barney boasting about it at the Water Buffalo Lodge. I'm married to a cover girl, fellas.
Speaking of famous faces, did you hear who she's going to be on the cover? Marilyn Manstone, Stoney Curtis, and Ann Margrock.
Wow! Talk about rubbing shoulders with the stars. I wonder if Marilyn will bring along her pet Dino.
And Stoney Curtis with his chiseled features. I bet he'll have all the girls swooning.
Oh, Wilma, don't forget Ann Margrock. She's such a doll, always so stylish.
It's going to be a real blast, Betty. I can't wait for the grand unveiling. We'll be the talk of Bedrock.
As they chat excitedly, the photographer signals for them to take their places, and they eagerly get ready for their moment in the spotlight, held by a giant pterodactyl.
Nice, yeah. And then he says, it's a living.
It's a living. Well, Dan, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
That was good.
That was good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
That's great.
Yeah. We know a little bit more about the Petty.
Yeah. And we got to talk about one of my favorite things, which is cartoons.
Love me some cartoons.
It's a great time.
Yes. Well, thank you out there in your headphones. Join us again next time. I'm probably going to have a guest, actually, for our next episode.
Feels like it's time.
Yeah. Now, will we talk about Marlon Brando?
Ooh. Or Marlon Brandstone.
Marlon Brandstone. Here on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time Podcast.
The only podcast that can give you a good time with all the fixins.
If it ain't fixed. Stay tuned for the end of that joke next week.
Jamie, wake up!
Jamie!